In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we are joined by the cutie couple Gabriel Mr. Majors and Matt Fuzzbutt to discuss charity. Does the bear community do more now than ever? What do we do about burnout? COL 278 starts now. September 21st, 2014. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
Oh, that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 278. And today we have two of our most recurring guests. First off, we have Gabe. Dun, dun, dun. Hey, hi.
Hi.
Hello. And of course, we have Matt.
Nice. Hi, guys.
So today we have a very interesting episode, I believe it will be. But first off, let's find out. Two things for me. First off, I moved to a new apartment, which was kind of exhausting. Did it over 5 days. Got some movers to move the big stuff, the couch and the bed and the chair and the desk and stuff like that. Went really, really well and really, really quickly. But it was exhausting getting the rest of the stuff over by myself, which kind of sucked. But I'm all moved in. I'm unpacked. Sana has probably finally gotten used to the apartment, I think, except she peed on the floor this morning, but that's another matter altogether. And also, my World of Warcraft guild, as of the recording of this show, is now 5 of 14, heroic, 25 man. Siege of Orgrimmar. Yeah!
Yay.
It took a while for us to get done Shot Pride, but we finally got it, and then we just one-shotted Galagras. I think that was the first time we did that on heroic, so that was kind of awesome and nice.
Sweet.
But that's pretty much what's been up with me. Damon?
Oh, goodness. What did I write? It's one of my... Oh, this. Okay. So, yesterday, well, technically a couple weeks ago, I have been training with my partner, who is also considered my daddy, and flogging. I love flogging. I love to be flogged. So I consider myself a flogging switch. And last night at our leather group was asked to provide demos for an event at the Serpent Bar here in town. And I was able to actively flog for the first time, you know, without assistance, without someone sort of guiding me, which was very nice. And I got some great compliments and people really seemed to enjoy me doing it. So, yeah, so that was great. So if you want to be flogged, I can now do it. And I love doing it. So, yeah.
Sweet.
I love nice. It. Yay. So, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's pretty quick and simple. But
yeah. Gary.
Yeah, so I've had a couple busy weeks of recent lateness, so to speak. Damon and I actually went to a house concert.
Yay!
That Jeff Rock Cub did at the House of Robin Terry's, which was very nice. So that was one road trip, and then I just road tripped last night to Cleveland.
Wow!
To see Jeff perform at the Leather Stallion.
Hmm.
It was a very memorable night. It was a good show last night. I was very happy. Decent crowd. They were, you know, and they hung around. He did two sets. It had a surprise ending that I never expected.
Oh.
And I told Jeff that he's lucky that there's no video of a flogging session with a drag queen in a leather bar.
What? Speaking of fogging, Batman.
it was a fundraiser, right?
No. It was completely impromptu in the moment. Yeah, it's anyways. Rumor has it someone else caught it on video because I told him. I said, "You're lucky I didn't catch it on video."
Nice.
But then someone else told me, they said, "Oh, but somebody else has like got it on their phone," and I'm like, "Oh no!" I'm like, "We'll see how that goes." But it was good. It was good. I haven't road tripped in quite some time. So, yeah, it was nice to get out and about and to see people. And it was fun because I talked with the owner of the Leather Stallion, the new owners, no owner. It's a couple, and talked to one of them extensively last night about some things. And it was good to network. And it was funny because then he started putting pieces together because I know folks in Cleveland. I guess it was an unintentional humble brag. He was like, oh, like he started putting pieces together. He's like, I've heard of your run. And then like he saw everybody that I knew that I was saying hello to. And he knows all of them from coming to the bar. So I think he was able to realize like, okay, like I don't know how to say this. This guy is legit. Like he's just not some person that comes up and is like, hey, I think we should blah, blah, blah. So anyways, I'm going to also own. Can we move on to the next segment?
Well, first off, Gabe. Matt, did you have anything that's been going on you want to share?
Matt, we've been really boring lately.
Okay, so we'll move on into this.
You want to get your same over with now, don't you?
Gary, what did you do?
Shots.
Didn't we learn from the Power Hour, apparently?
The Power Hour wasn't so bad, I didn't think.
Yeah, the Power Hour actually was a lot of fun. I go to Cleveland, I see Jeff, and because we're friends and we kind of have this joking relationship right now, he made reference at one point about me being his manager, which, Damon, you're kind of aware of that conversation.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't remember what song he sang, and I decided I would get him a shot. So, to be fair, I got both of us shots of Red Stag.
Oh, no.
Which goes to show how much I love this man, because I can't stand drinking that shit. well, I don't. I'm not a whiskey or a bourbon person, so I'm like, ugh. So, anyways, we did shots. Well, I didn't realize that was going to kind of start a thing.
Uh-oh.
So the owner of the bar bought him a shot.
Oh, no.
And then I bought him a shot because he was drinking, because he sang Garth Brooks. Friends in Low Paces.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of obviously calls for a shot. And then there was another shot, and I don't remember how that one happened.
Oh, no.
At this point, you aren't remembering much, right?
Well, here's the thing is I got there at 8. The show started at 9, and we left at about 1 o'clock when it tore down. So in a matter of about 4 hours, I think I did three shots, which were probably about an ounce and a half to 2 ounces each. Yeah, more like 2 to 2.5 ounces each. Plus I also had a gin drink. So
God.
And then I drove home.
It up.
You drove home.
I was fine. I was fine with driving home, but notably, I got home and I was extremely tired, and I went straight to bed. And so I'm not gonna say I'm hungover, but I'm gonna say I definitely am feeling my age. In fact, who the fuck said that last night? Somebody walked up to me and asked me my age.
Oh, I hate that.
No. Oh, sorry. It wasn't last night at the bar. It was yesterday. My family had a family reunion, and one of my cousins, who's probably about half my age, walked up to me and said, "Gary, how old are you?" Just like flat out asked the question. And the whole family was in the kitchen talking, and some of them turned and looked, and they were like, "Wonder what that's about." And I said, "40." And he goes, "Really?" And I was like, "No, I'm lying. Obviously." Like, love the kid. He doesn't understand. Like,
well, maybe he's thinking, "Oh, you must be like 32 or something like that."
No.
But then you said you're 40, and you're like, "Really?"
Yeah. And I was like, And I, so I got all sassy with him because I was like, actually, I'm 40 plus. I'm going to be 41 in a couple of months. Smart ass. Like, what are you kidding at? And he was like, well, I just, he's like, I just want to know. So then his older sister's getting on him. She's like, what the hell do you need to know that for? Whatever. I don't know. I was like,
ah.
Oh,
so sometimes you kind of want to keep track of ages. Like, I definitely keep track of my brother and sister, but of course, I just, to figure out their age, I do math. My brother is 9 years older than me. My sister is 4 years older than me. So I just do the math and be like, oh, I just turned 34. So my sister is 38. Ah, she's getting ever so closer to 40. And then I think, oh, but my brother is 9 years older. So he's 43. He's over the hill already. But that's
really? 43 is over the hill.
40 is supposed to be over the hill. I remember my parents' 40th birthday parties, which involved black balloons and a whole bunch of things saying over the hill. Okay? That's my justification about the whole 40 over the hill thing. So my sister is ever approaching. I'm just right behind her by 4 years.
Well,
Gabe, it's okay, Gabe. We'll just cuddle in bed and I'll hold you and make you feel better.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right.
Well, you know, the great thing about being over the hill or 40 plus is that you've been doing it long enough, you know how to do it now.
And you're teaching the younger generation, aren't you, Gabe?
That, and you feel like a dirty old man when they ID your boyfriend when he buys cigarettes.
Oh, my God. That did happen last night, yes.
That's why my husband is 51.
All right. Well, let's move on into feedback. All right, so we got a bit to catch up on. Stretch out. Let's get this going. All right. We would like to thank the following people for liking us on Facebook. We have Alexandre Lorador, if I'm pronouncing that right. Buddy L. McNatt. Chris Patrice. Chris Dimitrian. Dale Theriot. Daniel Ivan Harris. David Allen Hornbeck, Dennis Maury, and the fundamentalist GLBT Rock.
And then, oh God, NSYNC Piranha. I'm going to see that. Jan Plett, Joe Poros, Matt A. Patton, Michael E. McLaughlin Beard, P.A. Cooley, Paul Beard Bildstein, Paul Hotchkiss Gelfan, Philip William Mosley,
as well as Robert D. Yeager, Ron Smith, Russell McDerris, Scott Barrage Hernandez, Stephen Hackett, Terry J. Rulos, Walter Crean Carter, and William Walker.
Okay, I just want to make this comment. I need more people with first names at the end, more closer to the end of the alphabet, to have the really hard to pronounce names. Because I don't know about you, but it seems like the upper range ends up having more hard to pronounce written names. So just saying, if you would like your name butchered on this show, please like us over on Facebook if you haven't already. We'd appreciate that very much. Also, we got a comment recently. I forgot where I found this because I couldn't re-find it, but I know I got it somewhere. On episode 274, Rockfire said Fuzzbutt has an interesting blog, made me understand a lot of things about the BDSM community that I potentially never would have known.
Oh, thanks.
Or would have known, he said, but I like to speak proper English. Anyways, in Bear Underground, we had joined the Bear Underground COL Entourage group, Bear Cub 6968 and Bear Nudist. So welcome to the Bear Underground group. Remember, any of the Cubs Out Loud Entourage or COL Entourages, depending on the platform that you're looking at, please feel free to join it. These are communities for you. So just because I post that the show is up in those areas too, This is also for you to discuss either the shows or anything you want to. It doesn't have to be necessarily about the show, although it may be fodder for the future show. So just to let you know that. All right. So we got all that. Tim Hooper is still on the COL pedestal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tim Hooper. Moving into the weekly topic here. I'm assuming Carrie suggested this one.
Yes, it was. It was. It came from my brain. I'll own that.
All right. So, introduce us.
I wanted us to talk about, or at least have a discussion about, bear charity, and by that I mean in the bear community, giving of our time, energy, and money, either through fundraising. You know, be it at a bear event or with an organization, bar night outings, could be anything. But I'll give you guys some background as to where this came about. You may be aware that in August, the ALS challenge, the mm-hmm. ice bucket challenge, became a yeah. big thing. And I was challenged by somebody to do it. And I took my time to think about it and I made a video response. And I discussed it with a number of people, and some people that I know kind of agreed with me on this standpoint. That's why this topic came up. I think that people who naturally give of their time already, being challenged, some individuals may kind of feel like, but I've already given in various ways at different times. And that's what I want to discuss about is like how we do that. And do we feel at a certain point that we kind of get not tapped out, but, you know, it's like, I do this other stuff. Do you know what I mean? And maybe sometimes it's sort of invisible. Other people don't see it because they're not familiar with our interactions or what we're doing in the community.
Hmm. Okay.
Huh. Well, okay. In a lot of ways, there are many people in the world that will give and give and give no matter what. They will give until they literally cannot give anymore. And I've seen that not specifically in the bear community, but I do kind of see it. You'll see the organizations that do charities every week or every other week or every month, and they keep doing them because they feel that there's a need for it. So, I mean, one more thing usually doesn't affect them, but I see what you mean, that there are, you know, sometimes it can be seen as a slight or a little rude that you're asking me to once again give, even though I've been giving for, you know, so many years.
I think that, you know, in terms of things like being challenged to do something like the ALS or the ice bucket challenge, I don't think anybody who challenged anybody to that thought, oh, this person doesn't give, so I'm going to challenge them. I think, or, oh, this person gives, 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 and gives, so I'm going to challenge them so they'll give even more. I think it was, for the most part, honestly, I want to see this person dump a bucket of ice on their head.
That might be why.
You know, I kind of, like, I understood the challenge, but I thought, you know, who here's seen anything about that in the last week?
And it kind of brought up more visibility for the ALS donations, right. And
which was clearly the point. Yeah,
right. And the one thing, my understanding of what the rules of was, no matter what, whether you do it or not, you're still donating. And the challenge is either you donate $100 at least. I'm sure that some of the more higher celebrities probably donated more anyways. Or you basically, if you do the challenge, you get a discount. You pay $25 mm-hmm. instead of $100. So no matter what, all these people should still be giving to ALS, no matter what. So it's kind of important to really understand, because some people were like, well, if you do the ALS challenge, if you actually do the bucket, you're not donating. No, they are, just not as much necessarily. A couple of the stars for these, two of them that I appreciated a lot was Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart. Ian McKellen actually did it. And I don't know how much he donated, but I wouldn't be surprised if he donated more than $25 to ALS. He did it for the awareness sort of thing, and but I wouldn't be surprised if he donated more. I don't know if what he donated. It's in some sense none of my business, but he did it as to do that. And the cool thing about his video was he must have been on set somewhere because he had a whole bunch of these crew members, and it wasn't just him. It was all these other people behind him were doing it as well. So it was very neat. It was very neat, very thoughtful. And I mean, he explained what it was for and everything, and how Patrick Stewart, on the other hand, I really liked. Because what he did was he was sitting in a chair at a table, must have been in a hotel room. He was looking very suave, and he wrote a check. And then he brought a bucket of ice and put the ice into a glass and poured some drink in there and drink it. So he did the ice bucket challenge. He just, instead of pouring it over his head, just used it for ice. And he probably wrote out a full check, and I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if it was more than $100 that he was writing out. So you got to realize, by realizing that the ice bucket challenge in some sense is definitely it. I probably would have never known about donating to ALS without these ice bucket challenges. So I think it did a really good job of making people aware of it and, you know, essentially challenging people, telling people, hey, you should donate. And here's ways to show that you're donating. And those people who didn't accept the actual ice bucket challenge but still donated, did the $100 thing or whatever, they should have done that like Patrick Stewart and still made a video. They didn't get an ice bucket dumped over their head, but they at least donated, being like, I was a challenge to this ice bucket challenge. And although I don't think Patrick Stewart then challenged other people, although I think he probably should have. But George Takei also did it. Some of my favorite podcasters, Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett, did it. And Brian did it. If it did it in a coconut bra and a straw hula skirt. So I think that was funny. So entertainment along with charitable donations.
Well, I'd like to bring up, but I think that, and I don't know how to bring this up without sounding like a downer, but I would imagine that some of the people that did it for visibility as well.
Mm-hmm. True.
I mean, getting back to Gary's question, you know, do you feel like you've been asked to give too much or too many times, or I've already given at the office, why do I have to do this?
Yeah.
I personally, you know, after I've been in a lot of events and done a lot of fundraising for them, and I only do one at a time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm working with boot blacking and raising money for whatever the event is, then that's what I do. I'm not going to get myself up on stage and get auctioned off, and I'm not going to, you know, walk around in a dress, and I'm not going to do all these other things that people want to pay. Well, I'll do one thing at a time because the burnout factor is pretty high if you're not careful.
Yeah. That's a big one too.
And that's a little bit of where I wanted to discuss this about. Do we think that the bear community, like the leather community, like the drag community, I'm thinking of things that, like, that's where I see the charity happening within the greater GLBT, you know, QA community. That's where a lot of stuff seems to happen, or at least consistently. They're the ones that are reaching out, making efforts, raising funds, drawing awareness.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's difficult for me, and that's why I wanted to discuss it, though, because I think there are definitely people in each of those communities that do not participate. And yeah, there are those that do, and we tend to have – I think the burnout factor is important about, like, you have people that lead, and then they can only lead so much. They can only give so much. and so that's kind of what I wanted to discuss about. Not like – and I agree with you, Gabe, you know that sometimes people are visual just for the notoriety as opposed to the, I guess, the goodwill effort, I guess, or karma, whatever you want to call it.
Well, and the reverse is true as well, which is what I tell people we talked about when we talked about the being new to an environment or to a group is volunteering to be out there and be part of a fundraiser, for example. Get your name out there. I know somebody else in the podcast, for example, who got up on stage 2 or 3 weeks ago, I believe, and sold himself. At Great Lakes.
Yeah, I mean, that was more because it was something that I needed to do for myself, though, than it was anything, you know, to raise money, as Miss Constance always says, for the children.
For the children.
It was a confidence boost for me to get up there and for people to, you know, bid money for me to do a scene with me, basically, is what we were auctioning off.
Nice.
And, you know, it was actually a really powerful moment that doesn't really tie into the theme of this podcast, but it was, you know, a really powerful moment that kind of made me feel a part of the community a lot more than I already had been that weekend. but yeah. You know, I think in terms of fundraising and stuff, I mean, we just here in Louisville, we just had a group get founded, the Derby City Bears. That's a local bear organization, basically, that's all about fundraising. And, you know, they're partnering with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, their chapter here, for a lot of stuff. And, I mean, we've got the AIDS Walk here this weekend. Today, I think we might be missing it. no, it's next weekend. That's right. Because it's everybody's doing a big deal for, and you know, I think I'm part of another organization out completely outside of leather and bears that does a lot of kind of fundraising and work like that, and the part of that community that I'm in, I do a lot of soliciting volunteers and a lot of asking people to help. And I think that a lot of times when I'm trying to find somebody to help with something specific, I tend to go to the people who I know do a lot of stuff because I know that they will probably say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, we had a weekend long event not too long ago, back in July, and I was constantly, for setup and tear down, going to a young man I've known for a couple of years and saying, "Hey, will you go do this for me? Hey, will you go to this for me? Hey, will you go to this for me?" And he said something about it. He was like, I mean, he asked me, he was like, "Am I, you know, are you asking me this because you think I need to be busy or blah, blah, blah?" I'm like, "No, I'm asking you this because I know it'll get done if I ask you."
Mm-hmm. And that,
go ahead.
I know that kind of, that also kind of falls into the whole, burnout too. Is, I mean, if they're willing to do it, then it's no big deal, but don't be upset or angry if they say no, because sometimes you need to also reevaluate yourself and be like, like Gabe was saying, like, I go to one event and I do one thing, and I, because I know I don't want to do this, and this. I want to do this one thing, and this is what I want to do. If I start doing more than that, I'm going to end up stressing myself out, burning myself out, and I'm going to get frustrated, and I'm not going to like the event, and I probably won't reach my hand out again or say yes if someone asks me again.
Right.
I think that also determines how well do you know the person.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because the person that challenged me for the ice bucket challenge just met me this year, and they actually attended the run, and that's how they met me. And so, interestingly, they challenged me, and then I posted that I would, you know, take like 24 hours to think about it, and I would post a video response. And I had posted that I was like doing some research and things. And the post about the research without the video, folks – it really surprised me because some people got very opinionated, and they were talking about like some stuff, and there was some back and forth. And the person who originally challenged me sent me a private message, and he felt really bad. He's like, "I didn't mean to cause like a fight and an argument." He's like, "The whole point is to raise money. I thought it was a good thing." And I told him, I said, "Well, first of all, That's on you. Like, if you feel bad, that's your decision to feel that way. I'm proud of the fact that I have friends that are like, challenge things or think about things as opposed to just doing it because everybody else is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of discussed things back and forth. He finally saw the video that I posted. I discussed some of these issues and he thanked me and he said he didn't realize when he challenged me about my background. He knew, but he didn't know necessarily that 10 years of the run, we've pretty much done a charity almost every single year, and that I spent, I think, 4 or 5 years doing a run in Pittsburgh, and that I have been involved with that group for like 14 years and helped raise nearly $10,000 for the Pittsburgh Zoo over that time. Like, so he didn't know that there was that. Plus, there are two personal health factors that I discussed about me and my family that I am passionate about. And so it was interesting, and it kind of led to a discussion, and some people did not necessarily care for the fact that I kind of made people realize, like, I don't have an issue with raising funds for anything, but you should probably know better who you're going to ask to participate than just doing it blindly because you don't know what their story is,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's a challenge. Not everybody rises to it, and the thing is that from the outside, we need to say, oh, I asked so-and-so to do the dishes, and he's been doing stuff all weekend, and he finally said, no, I don't need to, you know, take that in a negative way. It's anytime you ask a question, the point being that you have to expect a yes or a no. If you walk in expecting people to say yes, then
yeah,
you're going to disappoint yourself, and you're going to hurt their feelings.
Yeah. Like, don't ask a charity to do another fundraiser, and if they can't do it, don't be all like, well, I can't believe they can't do that. Shit, I can't believe it. They're a charity. You're supposed to be doing it. That's what they do. I'm like, no. Sometimes you don't have the manpower or the energy or you don't have the time to do it. And you're being more conscious of yourself are your organization than you are of being realizing that there is a need, but you can't always. There's also personal needs. There's also that as well.
Well, and aside from personal needs, something came up just about 2 weeks ago. I had a friend in Southern California asking me, well, why won't sign language interpreters donate their services? You know, why I'm asking for you to, you know, spend 2 hours doing this. And I'm like, we don't do that because it's against our code of ethics. If we want to continue to keep our certification, that's something we have to agree not to do. We have to be compensated. Now, we can discuss about what that means, but it's, you know, it's not just personally, I can't do that. It may be that their job doesn't allow them to do it or that their family doesn't allow them to do it. Like, or in Gary's case, they're like, you know, I'm overwhelmed with other things.
Yeah.
Or there's other things that I choose to give my energy to.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. And I'm glad that you said that, Gabe, because I never thought of it in those terms or was aware of that there's kind of a code of conduct or ethic about how you handle something. And it makes sense, though. I mean, to me, that's similar to the track that we've had when we've had artists on that we've discussed, where mm-hmm. they say, this is how I make a living. Like, it may not be my only income base, but like, basically, I don't give this shit away for free.
No.
Is kind of a concept. And I think even Damon, you can agree with that. You know, no matter what your skill or your thing is, I think it's more challenging when you're really good at something,
mm-hmm.
because I think that draws more people, like, you know, insects to the flame, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? They're like, oh, right. I mean, they're kind of like, oh, like, you know, they're so good and they're so fun and blah, 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 blah. And I think that makes it more challenging to want to do charity or be involved with charity, because then you have to get far more selective.
Mm-hmm.
about what you will and won't do and how, and realizing mm-hmm. that, yeah, you're probably going to piss some people off.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure I will bring up the court, and I want to bring it up just because to kind of opposite, well, not really opposite that, but people especially here, and I don't know about other cities that have courts. I only know really Cincinnati. So there are many people who love and respect the court and what they do. They do shows every weekend, two or three shows a week. And every dollar that's donated goes to their big pool that they then donate out to their charities, and they designate charities every year. It's a great big, it's a big deal, and it means a lot to people. However, there are people who tend to bash the court because of the entertainment value of it. They are drag queens performing and drag kings and guys, you know, men performing numbers. And there are, I've been to many a court function, hell, I've been in a many a court function where there are people sitting there laughing and belittling some of the queens because maybe they're not on point in regards to their makeup. Maybe they're wearing the same outfit over and over again. Maybe they're wearing, you know, their clothes aren't good or whatever. You know, it's not, you know, it's not a drag queen, at least in their opinion, caliber performance. Because there are a lot of queens, and I will admit it, there are queens that don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't know the song they're singing, even that. So but these are people that have chosen to use this outlet to raise money, and they have chosen to donate their time and effort, and trust me, there's a lot of fucking effort in doing drag, to perform for, to raise money that they do not keep. And I think it's important that people realize that even though you may be doing what you can, sometimes that's all you can do. And it may not be, you may not be the greatest at it, but at least you're out there helping. Now, if you're doing it and it's not really positive or it's not really, you know, helping, then yeah, maybe you should quit. But don't belittle those people that are taking that time and doing it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that is a frustration when you think that people are not getting the message or they're ignoring the message.
Mm-hmm.
And going to something else.
Yeah.
So here's something I'm curious about in terms of the bear community. In our experiences as a group, do we think that the bear community focuses on a particular set of charities more than others? And I'll give an example. I find that the drag community more often than not focuses, at least in my experience, on medical aspects or hospice or maybe homelessness. Like that's usually what I see is thematically. And it's not that there, to my knowledge, there isn't a code, there isn't a law or a guideline. Like, hey, when you pick a charity, it should be this. Like, I don't think that exists. It's sort of, I guess, a trend maybe. And I don't know if we feel that way or kind of see that in the bear community.
No, I have seen bear community, bear runs give to, like Movable Feast. I think that's in Louisville or Lexington. Anyway, you know, they give to, you know, they give to, people that give, you know, food to, you know, I've seen bears that give, money to, yes, medical aids, hospice, like here in Cincinnati, we have Caracol. I've also seen bear communities give what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it varies. But sometimes it could be considered not really self-serving, but you know, I tend to like to give to charities that I, you know, it, knock on wood kind of thing. If something were to potentially happen to me, that I know that that service is there and that service will be there and they will help me. I know that sounds kind of self-serving in a way, but if I like giving to them because I know that in my mind that if something were to happen, I would have that resource available. And I wonder sometimes if that's maybe something that the bear community thinks about when they decide who they're going to give to.
Well, I think that most of the gay groups, and I would call them gay groups, but the Bears, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the drag courts, they either give to, most of the time I see them giving to local charities. And I think that that changes from region to region, but I don't think I don't think I've seen the Bears give to anything specific. Like the I don't know. I don't think so. I think that most of the gay groups that I'm qualifying with quotes here give to HIV and AIDS agencies or local LGBT charities. Any thoughts?
I think so. Well, they tend to go ahead.
The Austin Chill Weekend donates to Product Transitions, Project Transitions, which deals with people who are living with HIV and AIDS. And I don't think they're really local at all. So I think it really depends on the place and what program they're interested in. That they're going to choose what sort of thing. In this case, because this is a HIV and AIDS is kind of an important aspect to be keep in mind in the gay community. That's one of the reasons why a lot of them, a lot of the charities that are selected is for that. So,
And also, I think it some of it has to do with. And this is going to sound really jaded and cynical, and it's absolutely 100% not. when you give something to a certain group, that group might be able to do something for you. And the example I'm going to use is the Derby City Sisters did a bingo night recently, and they gave part of the profit to the Volunteers of America. And part of the reason that they did that was because the Volunteers of America agreed to come to the event and do STD and HIV testing while they were there during the event. And so it was kind of almost an exchange of services. We'll, you know, help you and fundraise for you and get your name out, but will you come help our community in this way?
Reasonable if money, you know, that's a reasonable exchange, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In the end, not just the groups, but the people that they serve were both helped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's given me a lot to think about. Well, I look at it this way. Like, I'll be honest, this is kind of a behind the curtain thing with the committee of the run. We've had a discussion over the past couple of years about where we're focusing a different charity each year. And there's been sort of a humor discussion. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's sort of in jest or in joke, but we also know that there's some reality to it. And it's about the aging of the bear population and how we, as we age, have more medical issues. So, for example, there was a discussion about, you know, what about focusing on cardiovascular, diabetes, cancer, you know, those type of things. And here's what comes out of it. We've kind of decided so far not to do that because there's a hesitance to want to spotlight and draw attention to that kind of a thing because we don't know how. We don't know how people would feel about that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. We've really waffled on the, can you tell a bunch of big, fat, hairy men to lose weight? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not exactly what we would say, but do you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the thing is, you know, it's like, well, you know, if you drop a few pounds, you might have lower blood pressure. You might not be at much of a risk for this, that, and the other thing. You know, and so we kind of talk about, like, it's a very, I think, personally, I think it's a very edgy line to walk because the whole point of the event is for people to get there, have a good time, and not necessarily feel like they're being chastised or delivered a message of judgment, maybe, or whatever. And that's not the intent, but I don't know.
It's... Yeah, it's skirting that. Yeah, you said it's skirting that line of be happy and be proud of who you are, but by the way, we think you might need to lose weight. You know, you know, we might think you need to be better or healthier, kind of thing. It does tend to. It could be a slap in the face to some people who, you know, it could hopefully be a wake up call to many, but you know, that's not going to always be what people are going to immediately see. Yeah. But I mean, I could see you using the run to raise money for the organization that might potentially help someone should something like this happen. You know, because, you know, for example, if someone has a stroke and ends up being unable to leave their home or unable to get to, you know, they're going to need something like, for example, Mobile Feast to bring the food to them and stuff like that. You know, it could be potentially a good cycle not a good
and
cycle.
That's one of, isn't that one of the tactics for fundraising is to say, you know, you should help with this group, not because you feel sorry for these people, but because, you know, it may be someone in your family or one of your friends or yourself that needs us down the road.
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
Well, and that's true. I mean, there's something to be said for notoriety. Like the one of the most successful years we had with our run was when we made the decision to donate to Shriners Hospital. Mm. And we have a hospital here in Erie, and that was part of the reason behind it. What we were surprised by was that weekend how many people stepped forward and said, my family has been helped by this group. You know, they had a family member or a close friend that, like, utilized their services. So we never predicted that there would be, like, a kind of a tender heart touch point, that people would be more impassioned and do more, give more, because they directly already benefited from said group. So, and we talked about, like, but at the same time, it's a national organization, so it isn't necessarily local based. I mean, it kind of crossed the edge in that exact circumstance, but it brought up an interesting point. We kind of debated on how we wanted to handle that going forward.
Well, and then, you know, playing devil's advocate here, if you know, the groups that donate to the large national organizations are like companies and United Way and that kind of thing. But, you know, are you risking exposure? There's still the fear out there in some people's minds that they're going to be exposed or that they're going to be known for having been at this bear event when they don't do that the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. They only do that again. And so by this group donating, and I told my wife I was going to be at a bear weekend, but she now knows what that's all about. Or I'm not out at work, but there was a picture taken of me with a big check that's now being splashed on an international website. Or is that a concern?
Okay, well, okay. Uh-oh. I'm gonna make a comment, and it may not be very popular, and it's a little bit of a rant. And it's about the exact example that you gave, Gabe.
All right.
If you don't want to be found out, then don't go. Because we live in an age where everybody has a damn picture, like, taking video capturing device on their phone practically. And it's I say it's almost 100% impossible to avoid, like, being found or seen or posted or any of that kind of stuff. And I don't necessarily like saying that because I realize that there are people that I have acquaintances that are on the DL, and I feel for them because they're, you know, they're at a point in their life that they're trying to figure something out. They might be transitioning to coming out, but a bear run is really not the place to be if you're trying to avoid detection, I guess is the way to say it. And the example that you gave about being in a picture with a big check, my thought is, well, then don't be in the picture. Like, don't be anywhere near that the fucking promo big
picture. I'm going to be in the back check row.
Well, and I agree with that. But are you, you know, as a group that wants to raise money and do charity work, are you missing part of your is someone being targeted with their excluded, or I don't know what the wording is. Is there someone that you're not going to reach or that's I don't know how to say it. Is there someone that's going to exclude themselves because they don't want to be seen nationally because you're giving to a national group?
Well, there are ways to donate without standing behind a big check for a picture or other comparable things. There are ways to donate your time, your energy, your funds without being in that spotlight, especially if we're talking about a bear run. You know, the people who, if there is spotlight, who are going to be in the spotlight are going to be the organizers of the run, not every single Joe Blow who donates $2. If that makes sense. And, you know, I think that on the subject of if you don't want to be seen, don't go, I have to say the exact opposite, because runs of any kind, bear, leather, function similarly with bars. You go to this place and you see these are people who are like me. It's okay to be like me. You know, I think that they're a fantastic thing for people who are uncomfortable in their own skin to go and see all of these other people who are like them. And if that drives you to donate money, just be a little more careful. I don't think you have to avoid it completely. Just be careful. Know what you're getting yourself into. Understand the consequences, but don't completely exclude yourself from the community.
I agree with you, Matt. I didn't want to infer that you should not go at all. You have to be authentically aware of what's going to happen. And you can't claim – you can't get mad and you can't retaliate, in my opinion, when you knew – when you went into it knowingly. Does that make sense? Like, you can't go right back and say, you can't eat absolutely raw fish and then bitch because you got sick. It's like, well, you should have known going into it there was a potential that that was going to happen. So don't come to a bear run and then complain about pictures being taken or a video posted, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, unless you right somehow make it aware that you don't want that to happen or to be. It is. It's very dicey and it's very difficult, because I've known people that have – when I worked at the campground, you know, there were men that, you know, were married, had kids and the whole bit. And I had no judgment about them being there. But at the same time, I thought you need to know what you're doing at the time that you're doing it and be able to own that, I guess, is my frame of reference. And so when it comes to charity, I agree, though. I think what you're saying is you can participate and not risk being found out, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, you could make a donation in cash. It doesn't have to be with a check that can be tracked, per se.
You can donate anonymously.
Well, right, and I agree with those things.
Hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. The thing I kind of wonder about is, where do we see things happening in the future? And I mean that in terms of probably the broader GLBT, but also the bear community. As time passes and community, or I guess society, evolves, and there's more fairness, there's more equality, do we think that that stuff will not happen as much? Will it change or diminish?
I think there will always be a need for people to fundraise and people to donate and people to give, and there will always be charities that are willing to accept it. The issue will become, will the generations now step up to doing it, you know? And we've got a lot of, I mean, nowadays we have, you know, GoFundMe and Kickstarters and all that kind of stuff, where it's a little bit more mainstream.
Patreon.
Huh?
Patreon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I think Patreon has been really interesting. With basically reoccurring donations, per se.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that.
Yeah, like we have these things where people can, in fact, you know, you can give, and it's not going to an event per se. It's you know, oh, someone sends me a link and I shoot my PayPal and I can automatically do it, like, there, you know, kind of thing. Now, I will say this, if you are going to do that, make sure that the charity that you're giving to is reputable and worthy of the money that you're giving, and using the money in a positive way. Because sometimes...
Well, the problem with that is it opens the door to, you raised money for this organization 3 years ago, and this year the treasurer has been sent to jail for embezzling all the money. That I understand. Yeah. I mean, you have to trust the group that's raising the money.
Yeah.
Sending it where it needs to go. And, you know, you would have donated 3 years ago, but this year there's a problem. You can't.
Yeah,
I can see people going back and saying, oh, no, you have been donating all along and you knew or
this is a bad
choice. Well, if you don't like it, then you make a better choice or a different choice.
Yeah.
You do. That's one of the things that, that irritates me, having been part of a committee or a group that ran an event, was that, you know, we did our best to make choices about where the money went based on what information we were given. And then it turns out, well, I don't like the choice you've made for a charity. Well, then get involved and help us decide on a different charity.
Amen to that.
Well, and I think the question about, you know, the younger generation, I guess, you know, being part of, I would consider myself part of the up and coming Bear generation. I think that I'm very lucky to have people in my life like Gabe and Daddy, who, you know, have been there and seen how the fundraising works and seen what needs to happen. And I think that what it takes is the older people in the community and the people who have been around for a while taking the new guys under their wings and saying, you know, yeah, all of this fun and stuff is great, but we're a community. It's more than that. You know, when you look at the fact that the Derby City Bears was founded by a guy who just turned 23 last weekend, I think that's awesome. But I think that he also is in a position where he had people who took him under his under their wings and said, you know, this is what we do. We step up, we give back, because if we don't give back, there is no community.
Actually, he did speak to me before he started and talking. And the reality was that he wanted to start a group that would work specifically with other groups doing fundraisers, but didn't know how to do it. So all I did was give him some focus. I didn't tell him what to do. And he made choices what groups to work with. But he did actually reach out and was lucky enough to find not just me, but some other people that I directed him towards as well. So that wasn't a pat myself on the back thing. That was a he was lucky enough to experience what Matt was talking about.
Hmm.
Do we think that there's a concern about the future of fundraising, that given that we'll all age out, quote unquote, and that the up and coming generations may not be as active or involved or have the same passion or commitment?
I don't think so. Cause I think, as long as there are, as long as like organizations make their presence known and are out there and are in our, I keep using the word positive, but are positively like, you know, making the difference and doing everything, like the court for here in Cincinnati has been around for, I think, 20 years, if not more so. There are people who were there at the beginning who, you know, obviously aren't here now, but their court is still functioning because there are younger guys and girls that are getting involved with it, and it kind of keeps cycling through. Now, I hope that continues with every, you know, all the other communities. Bear Runs, I don't think would, it'll be, I don't see Bear Runs that give to, you know, that donate ever really running out. The only issue I could foresee is that the groups that are behind them not working towards making sure that they have a good balance of members that can help maintain it.
Right.
The only two things that I would speak on that. The first thing would be that there's a discussion in the leather community. I'll try and make this as quick as possible, where there's the old guard and the new guard. Old guard mm-hmm. are the people that have been there forever. The new guard are the new guys. Well, the old guard dies out and the new guard becomes the old guard. And at no point, I don't believe that we're going to become so self-centered that we stop, you know, recognizing that we're a force for fundraising and for donation, whether it's time or money or energy to a group.
I would like to see us move forward with not just donating money, but getting together the Bears to go clean up a highway or a park or something, or getting the drag queens together to visit an old folks home and repaint or something. You know, I would like to see us physically get involved, maybe not in drag. I would like to see us get more physically involved. The only concern that I might have is with the way the political winds move back and forth. If for some reason, I mean, currently with the whole marriage equality movement, you know, there are certain people that are just not happy with the gay community. And it would suck if what we have to give is blocked simply because of something we're associated with. I mean, the Bears are not in and of themselves about marriage equality. The court system is not in and of itself about marriage equality, but we do have members who would benefit from that.
Yeah,
I can see that that might be an issue, but I don't see it stopping us.
Well, and I think that goes back to what you were talking about earlier, baby. You know, being concerned about the check and being in the picture with the big check, there's somewhat of a veil of anonymity involved with donating money and fundraising and being able to send off a check to this big organization. There's not such a veil of anonymity involved in cleaning up a park or going to an old folks home. You know, it's, you're removing that option. And, you know, the unfortunate truth of the matter is that a lot of the groups involved in this community not necessarily require, but benefit from that anonymity. Membership is certainly bolstered because there are people, you know, even in the leather community, my family doesn't know I'm involved in the leather community at all. I would not be nearly as willing to go out and do an event like cleaning up a highway with the Louisville Munch, where everybody knew that it was the Louisville Munch that was doing it, as I would, you know, auctioning myself off at a leather event or auctioning a scene off at a leather event where it's just leather folk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the bear community is similar in that way.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. I guess my thought was that would the groups that we give funding to receive some sort of hassle for receiving funds from a group like ours.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a concern?
I think that most of the groups that we give funding to, the vast majority of what I've seen, and granted my experience is limited, are generally groups that are LGBT friendly, are almost always groups that, even if they do receive hassle, they're going to receive that hassle anyway because of what the stances that they've made. I mean, an AIDS group isn't going to get any more hassle for a bunch of fat gay dudes giving them money than they already do.
You've got a good point.
Yeah, I mean, from the perspective of, I think when the charity's chosen, I think it's chosen in most cases with some serious like consideration, and it makes sense that there's a connection to the LGBT community, like even if it isn't based in that, so to speak. So I think that I think if everybody goes into it, you know, aware, it balances itself out more.
Yeah,
sure.
Definitely food for thought.
Definitely.
Okay. So was there, I mean, the original question was, are people giving too much, or are people feeling burned out, or what was your original question, Gary? I mean, are we, obviously it's a discussion, but did we touch on everything that you wanted?
Aw, that was so nice of you to ask. I'm teasing Gabe.
You can send the check to my PayPal account.
Oh, really? Are you a charity?
No, people don't have sex with me for charity. No.
Oh.
Well,
I have to remember that. Speaking of charity, If you would like to donate to this show to help see if we can improve it, cover server costs, etc., you can definitely just go to our website, cubsoutloud.com. There's an Amazon box there, so if you're purchasing from Amazon, feel free to do a quick search and purchase whatever you want there. There is no increase in price or anything for it. Everything's just whatever you buy there, and we get a little bit of a kickback that, along the way. Also, there is a link there to donate via PayPal. And as I said, pretty much covers server costs and trying to see what we can do to improve this show. So that's maybe not the charity that we're really discussing here, but something that definitely helps us out in making sure that we have a great show to provide you. And so wanted to mention that since we're talking about donating stuff. But if anything, for regarding burnout, I think it's if people are starting to get burned out, they just need to be like, okay, I still want to give money, time, maybe some energy, but do it in moderation. And you should, you know, maybe once a month or once every couple of months, or you have your annual thing that you always send money to, or do helping out a soup kitchen or something like that. So a lot of things to consider.
Yeah, I would give this as a quick suggestion. Mm-hmm. Find what you can handle within your budget, and then one way you could look at it is to give that same amount every month, but you switch how you give it.
Yeah.
So let's say you can afford like $10 per paycheck or $20 a month. Like in January, you give it to the local homeless shelter for blankets and stuff like that. Then February, you give it to the leather community. March or something. You know what I mean? Like to me, that's a much more reasonable way than like being asked to donate maybe $100 or a couple hundred dollars at one time. I think that's sometimes what stymies people or stumps them a little bit.
More often. Less or less often more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you kind of end up like spending the. So if you say, okay, this year I'm going to donate $100, and then you split up how you're going to do that, and you don't have to do it all at once, or do it all at once so that you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the year.
Correct.
So moderation, that's the nice way. Moving on, let's go into this. This, come on, this. This Matt, what do you got for us?
What I found is not pornographic in nature for once. I know, right?
Gay gasp.
hang on, I have to find it on my tabs. I have too many tabs open. I found somebody took a picture of the Old Spice deodorants all in a line, the kind of the newer stuff, the Wolfthorn, Hawkridge, Foxcrest, and Bear Glove. And the first comment, the person who took the picture said the American Hogwarts houses. And it completely evolved from that to the point where somebody has taken all of these and created a backstory and created an actual like,
oh my God.
Wizarding school house for each of these, including a house ghost, the qualities they would possess. And they went as far as to even say where this wizarding school would be, which is, I mean, the whole post was awesome, but then that really caught my attention because they said the Waverly Hills Sanitarium, which is about 5, maybe 10 miles from our apartment. and is a really popular destination here during Halloween season because they do this huge like haunted tour thing, which is awesome.
Nice.
Which house is that of the four houses?
No, that's the location.
Bear Glove.
Ha. Okay. So here's the funny thing, like total randomness. So for those that don't know, I've taken to over the past month getting being healthier and going to the gym on a regular basis. So this context is I'm there. I'm there with Vince and Rich. We, you know, did the gym workout. We're in the locker room. We're changing. And he has the Bear Glove deodorant. And Vince says, what does this smell like? It smells like something. I already know what this is, but I can't name it. So he's making the two of us like smell it. You know, like trying to figure it out. And my instant, so here's the thing. Here's my instant reaction. Not knowing what the name of the deodorant was, I said, it smells like freshly opened Sprite. like a freshly opened 2 liter or can. And he was like, okay, I get it. It's citrusy. It's like they're having this discussion and then there was something about a version of a candy that's like fruity or whatever. But it made me laugh because then I saw that it was Bear Glove. And I was like, really? Bear Glove, quote unquote, smells like fruit, like fruited candy. That's so masculine. I'm not really sure where they were going with that.
I just stick with the Old Spice swagger.
Yeah.
Ah, sweet. Okay.
Old Spice, old school, original scent.
Gary, okay. What do you got for us?
Get more beef, singlet edition.
See the word singlet. And
all the men I know that wear singlets, none of y'all have posted a picture like this yet. So I'm thinking you don't own this version.
No, I don't.
It's the Gary singlet challenge.
There you go.
Oh,
and Gary would like to take the picture.
Yes, with close visual and phalangeal inspection.
Well, since it's a fundraiser, Gary.
Oh God,
what are you going to bid for that?
There you go. Now we need to figure out where the singlet is. We need to acquire a singlet.
It's a rubber singlet, our neoprene. I can with tell yellow. That much. Yeah, it's yellow.
So, and black.
So, uh-huh.
Mostly black. Yeah, true. And
not a bad looking peen there.
This is one of those times when the term assless actually works. It's an assless and crotchless singlet. Yes. So, you know, assless chaps don't exist because all chaps are assless. But this is actually an assless, crotchless singlet, and it's a very nice view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
you are all welcome.
And
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Damon's like and reblog.
I haven't reblogged it yet.
Yeah,
yeah, like, keyword.
Gabe.
Aww.
I'm sorry, did I hear my name?
Yes. Yeah.
Mine isn't necessarily pornographic. There's no nudity that I can see, but I think the last time I was on here was about an episode about kissing, and this reminds me of two guys that may have just finished kissing, and it really turns me on.
Yeah. I don't think they're done with kissing. They just, they did the kissing, and the guy on top is moving down to kiss lower on the
neck.
Yeah, on the neck. Yeah. We'll
on the beard line.
He's going straight for it. I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of like nuzzle down the beard, down the chin, and then you kind of turn your head just slightly and start.
Tickling the Adam's apple.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
See, what does it say about me that I didn't see anything sexual in this? I saw something very sweet and romantic. And
I did too.
That's where I was. I think Jeff pulled us down.
That to me is sweet and romantic to have this lovely kissing. It's just also kind of sexy too.
Mm-hmm. See, instead of going, oh, now he's going to kiss down the body, it was like he was so overwhelmed by the passion and the kiss that he had to rest his forehead on his lover. And, like, that's where I went with it.
Well, honey, you know, there. Not everybody has the great relationship that we have.
Oh, where
that
fair happens. Point. Fair point.
I will say this. I think that this picture is everything. It is sexy. It is romantic. It is potentially pre and or post coitus. It's difficult to tell. They have clothes on, so you never know what the hell was going on. But
I think it's pre because of the clothes, but that's not the best.
I like it.
It's
a awesome capture. And it's almost very it's balanced. I like that. Like it's. Anyway, I'll shut up now.
Aww.
It's very sweet. I like it.
It is sweet.
Moving on into the links. What do you got first, Amy?
Okay, so speaking of our couples on the show, this I just a friend or no, someone posted him on Facebook, and I had to find the YouTube link because I love this thing. It's weird things all couples fight about, and the video is just hilarious and so true on so many points. From the what do you want for dinner to how to fold the towels to like
how to point the utensils in the
yeah dishwasher. Yes, just the weird things that you know we that especially if you're living together.
Well, Gabe, my favorite thing on this regarding those utensils is, well, why don't you put them up? Well, because somebody could fall over and impale themselves and die.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you think about it.
We had that exact argument.
It was more of a discussion. Because see, honey, there are so many things that I just let go of.
No, there's a story of a little girl who tripped and fell into the dishwasher and killed herself because the forks and knives were put you know, placed up like that, and you don't do that. You just never do it.
Here's the thing is, why the hell was the dishwasher open for her to fall onto it?
You know, maybe
you put it in, you push it into the dishwasher and you close it.
But if you're loading it and there's a little girl running around your house and you're going to put a plate in and the little girl trips and falls and kills herself, you're going to have that on your conscience for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God.
Well, in any case, the forks and spoons go face down, and I was taught with the knives face up. I'm not exactly sure the reasoning behind those, but that's the way I do it. Unfortunately, it's just me and Sonnet, and I don't expect Sonnet to impale herself on a fork in the dishwasher.
Oh, right. So when you reach in to empty the utensils out of the thing, you're going to slice yourself or impale yourself. Good job.
Oh, shut up.
Can you imagine a fork tine under a fingernail?
Well, that's why the forks are down. It's the only things that are face up are the knives, and those I can easily, carefully take by the blade.
Uh-huh. One at a time.
Gabe, just go fold a towel.
Yep. You mean okay. The right way?
Oh,
okay. Oh. I have to tell this story real quick. the first time Gabe and I ever did laundry together, probably a year and a half ago, we were doing laundry, and I'm all done. My stuff's all folded and put in the basket and ready to go out to the car. And I think, oh, okay, he's still folding. I'll be nice and help him. So I go to grab something, and literally. Don't help. Don't do that. Don't. No, please don't. Don't. This man is the most OCD about how things get folded I have ever met in my life. Like, I am not allowed to touch it. If it's not hanging the right way on the hanger, he takes it off and redoes it.
Oh.
Okay, I can understand that. I can understand that part. So I'm okay with that. Here's a question. How quickly does it take you to fold a shirt? Just a regular t-shirt.
We hang our t-shirts.
All your t-shirts are hung? Oh.
Yes.
We have enough space in the closet. It's easier.
I have a lot of my t-shirts hung, too.
So do I.
My t-shirts are folded, but it takes me about maybe 2 to 3 seconds.
Could you do that?
Did you do the thing online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It works amazingly. It's like black.
It does. When I pack, I use that.
Mm-hmm. Just lay it out. I mean, the prep is the only thing that takes time. So it probably is longer to fold
Jeffrey,
the shirt.
That should be your thing on your YouTube link this week.
I've already done it.
Oh,
I've done it in a previous episode, but they're just the thing and just having it spread out and then getting the right spots. Once you got that, it's like 2 or 3 seconds. It's amazing. Black magic. Anyways, moving on. Gary.
I'm sorry. I totally got lost in the. I'm just going to say this. I'm the single guy sitting over in the corner going, I like to eat cake. mold and what you hang. Anyways, moving on. My pick is related back to our previous episode where we did the summer top 10 songs. Mm-hmm. And Sam Smith was one of the artists. And so mine is a link of him performing a live cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car. I really do. I like him. I like his voice. I like his style. Despite what some people announced in the show, how they feel about how he sings or his his choice of songs or his focus. Tony Banks. What's that?
Tony Banks.
Yes. I will say, though, that Tony said during the recording of the show that he came around. Like, he wasn't completely converted on Sam Smith, but he understood differently his approach and why he was doing what he was doing with the album. So anyways, but this is something special or different for folks. So I thought that if they like Sam Smith and they haven't seen it yet, that they might enjoy it.
My favorite part about that episode was when I played Tacky. We'll leave it at that. If you don't know what it is, go listen to the show.
Go watch it.
It was awesome. Anyways. You know what? Folks, that's it. That's the end of the show. There's plenty of ways to contact us. Pop over to cubs.live.com. There you'll find some Amazon search links and donation links so that you can help us out with any of their server costs or anything like that. You can find us. You can shoot us an email at cubs.live@gmail.com. Feel free to leave a little voice memo, you know, from your phone. You know, the new iPhone 6 has a little voice memo app that you can use. Just email that to us. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CubsOutLoud. Join the COL Entourage on Facebook. Also, twitter.com/CubsOutLoud. Google Plus at google.com/+CubsOutLoud. Also, there's a COL Entourage there. Find us on bearunderground.net. Yes, there is a Cubs Out Loud profile, but we also have the Cubs Out Loud Entourage group there. Join us and discuss whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Please feel free. Please pop over to iTunes. Actually, don't feel free. Just do it. Go over to iTunes. Leave us a review. Whatever you put on there, I will read it verbatim. I'm not kidding. I've done it before. Let's do it again. Also, Stitcher, if you listen to us on Stitcher Radio, so if you need something that has like better streaming to listen to our show, because I find that it's easier than like the iPhone podcasting app. Just to listen to us on Stitcher, you can give us a thumbs up over there. Find me anywhere on the internet as Box Tech, Box Puppy, Box Cub, Box something or other.
I'm Theater Cub 79 on Bear 401, Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeftyNet.
I can be found as GearBear 73, pretty much anywhere on the internet I choose to be found.
How about you guys, Gabe and Matt?
I'm Mr. Majors on Gmail. And Google Plus. I am Gabe's Weekly Doze, D-O-Z-E, on what's that Tumblr thing?
I can be found as FuzzButt07 on Tumblr, Fuzz_Butt on FetLife, and some variation of FuzzButt with a 07 maybe, and yeah, pretty much anywhere.
Or maybe. Something or other. With that, say goodnight, everybody. Good night.
Have a good one.
Night, United.